Hey everyone, and welcome back to another incredible episode of Prison Counts Podcast, where we take you inside the criminal justice system and what it's like to spend life in prison. I'm your host, Ryan Ferguson, here as always with my good friend and co-host, Dave Dowling. Dave, how you doing?
All's well, Ryan. I'm glad to be back, glad to be here, glad to do what we do.
Yes, sir. And this is going to be a really awesome episode. It's actually your employer, so we're going to have you introduce them. But what's really interesting to me about this particular episode is that our guest has also been in trouble with the law, spending a little bit of time inside, as well as now helping ex-felons get jobs, employing them, giving people opportunities. I think this is great. We need more of this. So it's awesome to have the opportunity to talk to somebody who's actually employing ex-felons. Dave, go ahead and introduce our guest.
My guest today is Steve Simon. He's the owner of A Always Towing, and I work for him as a tow truck driver. When I got out of prison, I really wanted to try and drive a tow truck, and I wanted to drive a tow truck. I had done a little of it before. I had some experience with it. And, you know, my goal then, and kind of still is now, is to have my own tow truck company sometime, you know, but I just don't really have enough business experience and all that now. But to get a job in some of these places, is my point, was very difficult. They won't even, like, even to drive a tow truck, which I'm not knocking my profession here. I think it's a very noble profession. But I mean, if I can't drive a truck, you know, what is it that you want me to do? You know what I mean? So anyway, I got a job repossessing cars. So about 9 days out of prison, I was out repossessing cars in North St. Louis, and it was quite the situation. I mean, I had just got my license back and stuff. And
that sounds very, very safe, like a really good job.
But I needed the experience. So whatever he paid in money, which wasn't much, I needed that experience, and I got that experience there. Moved on to a more reputable place that gave me a chance. But when I came in here and interviewed with Steve, pretty much the first thing I said to him, before I fill out all this paperwork, man, I'm a convicted felon, you know, and if it's going to make me not get the job, I don't want to be down here for days till we get to that point. Oh, by the way, you never been in trouble, have you? Which is not something I like to. If you ask me, I'll tell you. If you don't, I might not. But I was just at the point where when I came down here for a job, I just said it. Well, he didn't give a shit about any of that. Honestly, he asked me some questions. Steve's pretty sharp, okay, about reading people and stuff. So when I told him about me, I think he kind of knew about me more than I told him in the first place, you know, because I have to be, you know, I was afraid getting the job that if I told him I'd done this much time and stuff, they'd be too nervous about giving me the job or something. So I always just kind of keep as much of it as close to my vest as I can. So anyway, Steve gave me the chance, man, and it's, you know, he's been real patient with me and has rewarded me when I needed rewarding and punished me when I needed punishing. So he's a good boss and he's a real character. And anyway, hi, Steve.
How old are you today?
I think I went on long enough to they're going to get sick of my voice.
That was a hell of an introduction, Steve. I mean, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
no one else I know has gotten a 3-minute introduction. Right. Well done. Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I just want to say personally, thank you so much for hiring people who obviously deserve a second chance, who are fully capable of doing an amazing job. In life today, it seems like life after prison is oftentimes another prison for people because they have a difficult time finding a job, and that, you know, that spirals their life out of control and oftentimes puts up the recidivism rate and puts people back in prison. How is it that, what is your mental process in terms of why you're hiring ex-felons? How'd you get into that? Are you concerned about it?
Well, I can pretty much, I guess, say I read people, how they bring themselves to me, and they tell me that they are a convicted felon, recovery. I have a recovery employee too. I don't hold that against you. I have children, and everyone deserves a second chance. Drugs, alcohol, any of that disease leads to sometimes committing felony. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But to me, everyone deserves a second chance. And Dave's pretty easy here to get along with. So you knew right from the beginning what I was going to be dealing with was a good employee. Someone comes in here and they're strung out, and that's honesty. And they put in an application. It's like, okay, Well, I'll have to send it to the insurance company to see if it's going to be okay. Well, usually I don't reply to that employee, you know, because you already know you're going to have problems. When someone comes into my company, the first thing I say is, you don't have a drug problem. I don't want that here. I want to treat everyone in my company as treated like family. Dave's my son, basically, or my brother. You know, we all work together. We watch each other's back. In this industry, a tow truck driver in this country is getting killed by another car, put off tension. You know what I'm saying? People are on the phones and stuff. Well, when that man goes down, I have to go out there and claim him. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much another story. You know, Dave, if Dave goes on an accident call and he gets hit, I have to be the one to come out there. You know what I'm saying? And we're like brothers. We work behind each other. We're like a family. That's what's something wrong with employment today is employers want you to come in and hit the clock and go home. Here, I want to treat you like family. You need something? I'm here for you. You know, like I said, second chances, always the best.
And don't let him fool you. He's not that easy. Okay. All those things he said are the reasons I work here for real. But Steve knows that if you gathered up enough, you know, whatever, to come ask him for something, you really probably need it. You ain't going to be hitting Steve a lot. You know, Steve's no fool, all right? You hit him for 20 on Monday. Don't hit him for 20 on Tuesday, the day after you paid him back, all right? He's going to get a little, you know what I'm saying? He's a little streetwise.
I'm going to throw at him, stuff. I'm going to say, you got that $50 you owe me after he got the 20.
And he's a taskmaster, you know? But one of the things I really did like about working here and my working for Steve is that when you're wrong, he's on you. You know, he's very smart. You know, there's not much going to miss his attention. He's very, you know, he's got a great boss's attention for detail.
42 years, I better.
And what is 42 years in the business, huh?
I've been at it 42 years. I used to be the guy at the gas station wiping your windows and pumping your gas.
That's awesome. And well, congratulations on your own business now.
Thanks.
Right. There's awesome. No one you'd ever meet in St. Louis as it has anything to do with any kind of cars getting towed that doesn't know who Steve Simon is. I mean, he is famous.
I had a missing car in St. Louis once.
Steve could have found somebody and called them and found out where it was and found you a deal and how you could get it out. So he's that guy in St. Louis. That's one thing I liked was his St. Louisness. But, you know, his seriousness about people that risk their lives in their profession. All right. You know, and
that's another.
I always joke with Dana, my girl, and anybody who listens, is I always tell people I'm a last responder, right? After the crash, after everything's done, all the drama, I come clean it up. I'm a last responder. But a lot of times it's a dangerous position still because everybody is gone and people are flying by you at 90 miles an hour. And sometimes you don't really know exactly what you're supposed to do here. I mean, you have to figure out something every time, but Steve's great at answering that phone at any time and being available to try to understand your situation. And that's a great thing. And I think it's really what my point is that personal approach and his respect for your position.
What I got from that too is what Steve was talking. It sounds to me, Steve, like you really look at the human side of it. Whereas a lot of jobs nowadays is just a person, doesn't matter who it is, just fill in a role. They don't care anything about you. You're replaceable like everyone else. But it sounds like you're creating an opportunity where people know each other. They respect each other. They care about each other. And you're hiring a person. So, yeah, if they come in and they are using drugs, you're not going to hire them. If they come in and they're rude or they're not kind, you're not going to hire them. But you're also not going to hire them because they're felons. You're just looking, is this a good person? Are they going to work hard? Are they trustworthy? Yes, they mark those things. Cool. Let's work with them. I mean, why not give them a chance? Is that right?
That's exactly right. 100%. I have to give it to them. I look for that. You know, how you represent yourself is very important. Your past. You can always give somebody a second chance.
Well, you kind of built your life on a second chance.
What's your history, Steve? I feel like somebody who understands the struggles that people have had. I've had struggles ourselves, right?
I had struggles myself. I don't know how deep we want to get. We can go
however deep you'd like to go, Steve.
Let me see. Well, I guess I was, how do I want to put it? I had my times with drugs and got in trouble. No felony, just caught with marijuana. You know, I got caught with marijuana. And that was 30 years ago.
It was a big deal 30 years ago. Now it's
a big deal. That's what I was just telling Dave earlier about. This police officer out of Arnold, he was a rookie at the time. He was checking me out before that and then came to my house with a warrant, came in, you got all the weed, 9 ounces, you know, big deal. And he said to me, that's a felony. Well, I yesed on it.
Which means you took a
suspended impositioning of the sentence
with a guilty plea, and it goes away if you
right the paper. After so long, right, you go right. away with it. So, anyways, I told him, I said, one day it's going to be legal. He goes, never in our lifetime. Well, look at it today, you know. And he's pretty high up in the rankings now. I won't call him out, I'll save his name. But that's kind of like that. I got in trouble. I kept a job over my head. There was one thing. I have an older brother. I got 11 brothers and 2 sisters.
Whoa.
So my oldest brother offered me a job for the highway department. I was working at the neighborhood gas station when I was 13, wiping windows, pumping gas.
That's you that know, South St. Louis South, Catholic stuff right there.
That is. South St. Louis Catholic. Yes, sir. That's me. So anyways, I worked at the gas station. When I turned 16, the boss comes out. He says, hey, today you're learning something new. Gave me some keys. Goes, get in the tow truck. I'm going to show you around. Shot me into the tow truck for about 6 months. After that, I was on my own. Stayed employed, got in trouble. He waited on me, stayed with me. I was with him for about 9 years there.
Wow.
Then I turned around and went in there. I was making $7 an hour. They said, I need more money. He says, I can't give it to you. So I went to another tow company. And I started there, and I was there for 14 years.
7 was about twice the minimum wage then, though.
Right, you know, right. But when I started at the gas station.
I worked at an ice company for $3.35 an hour in 1986, you know, stacking ice and trucks. So $7 an hour then, as a youngster, not as bad as it sounds today.
Well, right, right. That was a whole lot of money then. But when I started at the gas station, it was $2.60 an hour is what they paid me.
Okay, I'm going to age myself here just a little bit, but when I got my first job at Taco Bell in 1998, I was getting paid $7.25 an hour.
Yeah, see, that was big boy. That was like what the managers at the ice factory were making. I was like, you know, in between drunken fist fights at lunch, they did all right. You know?
Boy, life has changed since then. Yes,
if OSHA only knew what we used to do.
So both of my towing companies that I worked for my whole time, they were awesome to me. They dealt along with my problems, you know, my ups and downs. And I followed a lot of that. I paid attention to how they treated me, you know, and they gave me that second chance. You know, when I went out and screwed up, I had to come back. I had to have my job. Then the second employer did the exact same thing, and they treated me like their family. I thought I had more family on the street than I did at home.
Wow.
I guess maybe I cared for my friends more and trusted people. You know, there's two things that my father raised me with, and that's you don't lie and you don't steal. Once you steal, they won't believe you. Once you lie, they don't trust you. You lose all that respect when that happens.
You know, that's an interesting point you brought up, too, because almost everybody I've ever met that's been locked up at some point in their like young teenage life.
I got
they lost their like. I won't say they lost their feeling for their family. They just didn't feel like they fit in there, and it wasn't the kind of love they needed. And then you meet your buddies, and you're bonded when each other has that all same problem where they don't really want to go home and deal with that shit. And you start being together, and you start seeing that there's other groups like. The bond is so strong, it's very hard to break. I mean, between 15 and 25, that friendship you got with the other fellas, it can lead you a lot of places. I mean, really, you know, and you see some guys jump ship on the way down, but there's other guys like myself that rode that ship all the way under the water, under the waves, you know, and I've been paid a desperate price.
Yeah. Steve, were you saying you experienced some of that? You got locked up at
some point? A little bit of time in jail. I did 14 months. That was for
That's no short time.
The younger you are when it happens, it seems like the longer the time is. Like 14 months when you're 18 is a lifetime. Yep. 14 months when you're 50, whatever. I live 70.
But it's a long time. It is true. It's a long time. But I came out and it made me better. It made me better. It made me think, you can't do this no more. You're going to keep ending up in here. And I changed my life around and I went to work every day. And I overbecame the drugs. I didn't need treatment. I was on, you know what I'm saying, doing my thing. And I thought about it more and I thought, I'm never going to go anywhere if I don't pick it up now. Can't say I was broke. I was living on the streets of South St. Louis, didn't want to go home.
Can I ask, what was it like at, what did you say, you were 18 going to prison? 19, like knowing you had
19 going in.
19. So what was it like at 19 going into prison? You got all this time ahead of you. Was that a scary situation? I mean, that's when I went in. I was young too.
Oh yeah. Very scary. Very scary. Wondering what was going to be next. What am I going to be approached with? You know what I'm saying?
What was like the worst thing you dealt with in that environment? Do you remember?
Oof. Where are you at? The old city jail? Or are you in the county?
Algoa.
Familiar with that.
That one.
You weren't at Algoa. You were at Gumbo.
Gumbo. That's it. Gumbo. Yeah. It's been a while. I try to forget that part of my life. You know what I mean? You kind of understand. It's
totally.
You don't want to remember that.
Back in the day,
I was pretty wild. I guess
you're still
Know. I am still pretty
back wild. In the day, they used to call the St. Louis County Jail Gumbo.
Gumbo.
I don't know, but it was an old-ass place.
It was down in Chesterfield in the valley.
But it was like a little prison. I mean, yes. It was not like you know how county jails are today, kind of sterile. I don't know. You went in some county jail, didn't you? A lot of time. So it's a little different. Back before that, these were like barns with bars.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, they were, you know, serious business. You went in and it was like an on TV prison experience. Today, it's a little more sterile than that. Anyway, what was your experience at Gumbo?
Oof. At night is when it became rowdy. One time I watched a guy take a soap bar of soap and put it in a sock and beat this guy with this. And that's all I could remember was the loud screaming of how bad it hurt.
It's amazing that all this time later, that sticks with you. I mean, that is a terrifying thing.
That was the worst.
Hearing someone helpless like that and being victimized, it don't go out of your head ever.
It's just like a scar there. You know what I'm saying? It's an invisible scar.
And so was that like open bay? Like that could have happened to you. Like you're trying to sleep and...
Oh, same thing. The exact same thing. Cause those were open. You know what I mean?
There was like 16 guys in a cell area. And then the other part of it was a big bay area where there was like 50.
That's where the mess hall is. Your mess hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But oof.
But over the years, you know, like in my situation, like you heard that for a year, things like that, that stuck out for you. And these things don't happen every day, but you do hear victimization. And to me, that's the only part of prison that I hate talking about. People are like, what'd you see?
You don't really want to
say. Because I can still hear it, you know, right. And like telling you what happened. I saw a guy get his throat cut and fall down and die. Now that sounds horrible. Seeing it is even way more horrible. Okay. You know, I mean, hearing it is bad enough or watching a movie about it or hearing a story. But when a human being actually watches someone else cut a person's throat or beat them mercilessly or even rape them and take their manhood.
They were doing that.
That touches you in your deepest animal being of wrong, you know? And so it does, you know, and
it affects you.
And it turns people special ways. Either people delve down into the muck of it and the nastiness of it, or they say, that's it for me. And I'm done. And that violence and that ignorance and that nastiness
that line
is what
life.
Stopped it for me, too. And it sounds like it stopped it for you earlier than it did me. Yep. I wish it would have me earlier.
You have to drop, you know, you have to say to yourself, I'm done.
I'm not kind of person.
I'm not going to do this again.
I was down with all this little stuff, but I'm not down with that kind of stuff.
That's right. But just, you got to draw a line in your life to turn it around, turn it around.
You know, and one thing I think is important to think about and to say is, you know, when I come out, it's not your responsibility to believe me. It's my responsibility as somebody who's been dishonest in his life to show you and prove to you that I'm the best guy that I say I am every day in smallest ways.
Yep. You stand up to that every day here.
Don't be full of crap. And sometimes it's a bad habit to sometimes slip into wanting to be full of crap and lessen your consequences. But, you know, lucky here with Steve, I relate to him as a man and as a human being and experience, just the way we're, our kind of personalities are. He drives me nuts. I can't stand him, but I love him. I don't think I'd work for anybody else.
Dave, okay. I think that's how everybody in prison explained you. So I mean, that's just what
I
mean.
I think I found my guy. You know what I mean?
I've got a guy here that's been with me for 22 years. Still, oh, he wow. drives for me, you know? And like I said, they don't like me, but they love me. I have to keep them on their toes. They don't like to be corrected, you know? But
I hope Dr. Phil is listening to this episode so we can have him on and do something for him. Because his poor wife, Ashley, works here too. Okay? And she not only deals with it at work, but she goes home and the voice is still there. She is the most patient woman I've ever met. She's a wonderful human being.
That's amazing. And so, Steve, I think that's what it's interesting what you were saying, Dave, is that, you know, you got to prove who you are every day. But the important other side of that is it takes someone like Steve to give you that opportunity
that's exactly
to prove
right.
who you are right. and what
give
you're
me
doing
the
in
opportunity
life now.
To show you that I'm better than a lot of these guys. I might not be better in my knowledge. I might not be better in my experience, but I'm better in my you know, ability to respect that you're the boss, still be your friend while respecting your bossness.
Business you know? Is business. Friendship is friendship.
Right. And being able
you have
to
separate
that.
That.
And it's my responsibility every day to prove him right about hiring me instead of having right. to prove him wrong about hiring me. Because if I do something up here that's disrespectful and ignorant, you think he wants to hire that next guy who needs a second chance? You know, he's going to be a little more leery. He's going to get tired and worn out. You know, if he has an abundance of employees, you're going to be last choice. So everything we do has that ripple effect, like they used to say in the therapeutic communities, you know, that ripple effect. Yep. So what you do, yeah, it messes you up, but maybe it messed up five guys who really were trying.
Exactly, exactly. So, Steve, I wonder, given someone like Dave a chance and other individuals a chance, obviously Dave's been a great employee, proven himself. He knows he has to do that day in and day out. Have you had, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, experiences where people haven't really proved themselves?
Well, I could give you one. I hired this guy. His name was Elrod. I don't know if that's the first name or the last name. But I hired him. He was a good guy. Like, he was on, he was a meth addict, and he came to me. And I liked the way he represented himself, but I knew that he might be messing around with drugs, you know? So I said, do you do drugs? And he said, I'm off of them. I'm off of them. Well, okay. I give him a chance. I hired him, brought him in. He was a great guy, got along with everybody. He was the most funniest guy you'll ever meet. Just great. All around. Perfect for the company. Then he lapsed. Then I told him, I said, have you lapsed? And he said, no, I haven't lapsed. Well, I dropped on him and he did lapse. So I told him, I said, I can't use you. You have to go get yourself clean. Get yourself back to who you were. And he left for about 6 months and he come back and he says, I'm done this time for sure. So he stayed with us, got back with us. He was here for about 3 years working. Great attitude, the funny guy, you know. He lost his place. I built him an apartment in the back of my shop, gave him a place to stay, uh-huh. said, hey, buddy, we'll take care of you. We'll give you food. My wife would make extra food every day. We brought him food, gave him a place to stay, paid him his paycheck. Well, the last time he relapsed, he didn't survive. So that kind of hurt me really bad. It hurt me bad that I had to put him out of here because he started using when he was living in the back when I gave him a place to stay. And I said, you know, I hate to do this, but you have to go. You can't be around my business like that. I won't allow it. And you know that. And he left and I had to give him his last paycheck. And the paychecks were due in about 4 or 5 days or something. And he come in my office to pick up his paycheck. And he says, I would really like to have my job back. I said, right now, I can't do that. And he said to me, you know what's going to happen. I said, I probably do. Well, he ended up and about 3 months later, he OD'd and they couldn't revive him. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of hurt me, but he was my friend. He's just like Dave, you know, but I'll always keep that up with him. Yeah. Your second chances, man, they're the best ones to keep. When I have your word, I have your word.
Second chance is always kind of a weird thing because, you know, some of us have been around a long time. We're probably on about the 12th chance.
You got to pick and choose who you give that second chance to. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But you pick and choose who you give a job in general.
That's right.
Steve's
that's right.
touched on something.
Take care of them.
Even family. More than the financial point, though. Steve touched on something that's also is equally important, if not more. It's that emotional point. You know, when you do go to work with people every day, no matter if you're working at McDonald's or aerospace or driving a tow truck or whatever you do, and you get emotional bonds with people. When you watch them fall apart and you watch your lives crumble, it's very disturbing. You know,
yeah, it's a great point.
Hurtful.
We miss them. We miss him, man. We miss him. He was that all around great guy, you know. He just make you laugh every time you see him, you know.
Damn. That's a hard story.
Yeah, it kind of it makes you swell up a little bit, you know, with some tears on that one.
So, Steve, what advice would you give other small business owners or companies when it comes to, and just be honest, when it comes to hiring somebody or taking a chance on somebody with a criminal record?
You know, back to the same thing. You can usually tell a person by their character to know who they are and how they will be. Should never judge a past. Judge the person who they are.
Is there anything you found out a person was convicted for that you would absolutely not give them a chance to drive the tow truck?
It's a good question. It's a good question.
That is a good one. The one that I would have to say is probably murder. I would probably not want that. Or, what's that, Jeffrey Epstein? What is he?
A pedophile.
No pedophiles. Because I have to worry about my customers, too.
Certainly.
I have to worry about my customers because if I let someone that has been a pedophile or murderer or something, you can't, or somebody that, you know, that's done those things, to trust them around being with a member, like a customer of mine, to, you never know. You know what I'm saying? It's a,
people are out in the field and insurance, so you have a responsibility.
Right.
What's interesting about murder, though, as a charge in itself for a person who's gone to prison for murder, in my experience, and I think yours too, Ryan.
I think I would agree with you. I already know where you're going.
In the maximum security prison, that the most calm and respectful guys were people in there for murder.
A lot of them, they get out the least recidivism rate.
Yes. The least recidivism. And it was because most of the time, I'm not trying to say all these murderers are great dudes, whatever.
Definitely not.
The murder, like when you're saying that, I guess I could say that a different way. The pedophile, 100%. You can't 100%. Work here. 100%. You can't work here. We're not. There's no doubt in it. Okay, let's just say an accident. Somebody in a drunken accident. You know what I'm saying? Would I hire that person? Yes, I would. Someone that committed cold-blooded murder? Probably not. You kind of see where I'm coming there? Like this, like that.
It's an ongoing, but I think really if somebody came in here, and I think personally, in my opinion of you, and then this might not be true, is I think sex offense would probably turn you away from them.
Yes.
Just because you have daughters and
you know. Well, that's a non-starter, yeah.
My wife.
Right. Honestly, these guys who are getting out of prison doing this stuff, I mean, a lot of times I don't think they should be getting out of prison personally. You know, these people that commit these heinous acts against children. Right. I don't feel, you know, I see a lot of them when I was there do 5 years for doing something heinous to a child, and I'm there for stealing money with a fake gun. okay, I should go too. I should be in prison, but, and I have affected people. But to me, something about that child to sin against the most innocent like that is a whole different kind of degradation. And I don't know.
But I will say, you know, I agree with Steve with the experiences that he has, because our experiences living with people and getting to know certain people who have been charged with murder, who have committed murders, we have a different perspective on it. And there's a lot of them that we wouldn't want to see out on the street ever, too. So, I mean, I agree. If that's how Steve feels, that's a very valid feeling. And it's something I would be concerned about myself, for sure. Although I would want to give him a second chance, but still, there's that concern. Well, I think that that was a good debate. I think it's a very interesting topic. I look forward to hearing what our listeners have to think about that. Because, I mean, it's, you know, we all have such different opinions based on our experiences. And even the three of us have very varying opinions on these subjects. Steve, I really appreciate having you on. Man, it's been a pleasure meeting you. I can't wait to get to St. Louis and actually hang out with you. We can bother Dave together.
Come on. It's a great time. You'll enjoy.
Don't expect.
I want to meet you. I will meet you.
Don't expect a chance to say much.
I remember. I said, I remember when that first happened to you, man. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. I
appreciate that, man.
I remember that when it came over to the news channel. I was like, that's pretty crazy right there.
Hey, let me tell you, when I told Steve we were doing this podcast and who you were, within 3 hours, he called me. He knows more about you than your mom does.
He has
watched.
Well, I kind of had that.
You get so focused on something. He knows the movie. Nobody's pushing your movie or this podcast more than Steve Simon.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, I am.
And nobody's
more
your advocate.
He tells me about it. He sends me the podcast, and I'm like, oh, I got to check this out. So I'm listening, and I go, Ryan Ferguson. I remember that name.
When I said,
that's been a long time ago, but I remember that name. And it stuck to me that I remembered the whole story, you know, about the news guy, the sports editor for the paper.
Yeah, big Missouri case.
Hey, yeah. And I remembered that back then. I said, wow, I remember that after it started coming along. Then I started like doing your background, checking you out, you know what I'm saying, online and stuff, watching lots of different things. And then I seen that you were with Bridget, your fiance.
My girlfriend, yeah. She's your fiance,
right?
Not yet. I keep asking.
That's going to get
Hold on. He's going to get that edited. But anyway, she was our news anchor. You know how you have that little crush on your news anchor? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey. Well, Bridget was mine. And it was like, wow, this is a small world here, man.
I want you to know that he's saying this. His wife is less than 6 feet from us at this moment. All right.
She knows his name.
Yeah, but she knows how ridiculous he is. He found the perfect one. I don't know.
Yeah, she good. She God
lucky man.
Really
lucky man.
Good.
Hey, right on, Steve, man. I really appreciate the opportunity working here. I appreciate you taking your time to do this with us, man. And I appreciate your attitude towards people. You know, it isn't really a really cut or dry like political stance. It's just Steve's just the kind of guy who gives people a chance, you know. You know, if he likes you, if he don't, if he feels like you're funky and you're coming in on sideways, you're not going to get a chance with him. You're not going to get it past him. He knows too much. He's going to call one person you mentioned and that'll be it for you. The truth will come out. You know, the world has eyes and sees. Coming in and being honest when you're trying to do a job interview or really to get somebody to trust you enough with their property and to give you money to do it. You know, you need to bring the heat. You know, you need to bring the, you know, you need to show up and suit up and show up. It's not his responsibility. It might be his social responsibility to at least give you a look, but it isn't his responsibility to jeopardize his family and his income so that you get a 48th chance.
Right. Thanks again, Steve. Have a good one, man. We really appreciate you.
You too.
We'll talk to you soon.
Steve. All right. Thanks. Peace.
Dang, man. Steve is really awesome, Dave. You are absolutely correct. I really like the guy, and it's cool that you get to work for him. Seems like a really, really great human being.
And you know, Ryan, he really is, you know. Hey, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Sometimes he can be a difficult to work with, especially when it's your friend. You have to learn to separate your friendship from the business aspect.
For sure.
You know, but he does that real well. And, you know, he really does when he says treat his employees like family. He does. I feel like I can tell Steve anything that's going on with me and he'll support it as long as I'm being honest. And that's really cool. You know, I mean, it's nice.
Yeah, man, you can definitely see that. And it's really neat to see him having been in trouble with the law, getting through that, and now helping other individuals. You know, it's just something we need to see more of in this world.
And it is. And, you know, and Steve's not a fool. Like he judges on character and he takes chances sometimes, but he has to talk to you a few times. You know, he doesn't just, oh, you're just out of prison. Come work for me. That's not how he is. You know, he's right. He has to have a good feel about you. And he really is a good judge of character.
No, it definitely seems like, and I think you have to be, you know, and that's what's cool is when you're dealing with people who've been in trouble with the law, you know, you have to be a good judge of character. You have to take them at face value to a degree. You have to actually sit there and talk to them, look at them as human beings and understand the struggle that a lot of people have been through in life. And he seems to do that and really care. And it really does help a lot of people out. So hopefully we see that, you know, other employers can do a little bit more of this as well. And it'd be less about just pure business and more about human interactions. It's easier with smaller businesses, obviously, but I think larger businesses could also benefit from hiring people who have been in trouble with the law, but who have reformed themselves.
And you're right. And some do. I mean, some are doing that more now than they used to. But one other thing is when you get a job with somebody and they put their trust in you, expect to be under a little more scrutiny maybe than the next guy.
Yes, sir.
You know, they have to look at, I mean, they're putting their name on you and that's their business and way of living. So, you know, don't, you know, you can't expect that anybody owes you something. But just give me a chance. But then my scrutiny's heavy, and I have to live up to that.
Well said. All right. Well, look, we're going to get out of here. We know everybody's got good things to get into on their day, and we appreciate you spending part of your day with us. Again, if you get the opportunity to share this with anyone, that would be incredible. We're trying to bring you interesting stories and important topics that are relevant to our lives and people who are around us all day and every day. Give people voices who don't often have one. So thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review our podcast. Dave, where do we find you?
You can find me at DaveDowling526111 on Instagram. You can also just friend me or follow me on Facebook, Dave Dowling. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening, but please do share and please do try to spread the message because we are trying to do something good here.
Sure. All right, everyone. Much love, and we'll see you next week.
See you count time.